following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Daryl Padgett, driver of the number 46 Wells Brothers Farms Ford, and you're listening to Joe Dirt and Billy on Dirt World.
This is Real Racing USA, and you're listening to Dirt World with Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid.
And it is Wednesday, 7 o'clock, 7:30, and that means it's time for Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid. Joe, Billy, take it away, man.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Jack Smith, and welcome to Dirt World right here on RealRacingUSA.com, our weekly installment brought to you this Wednesday night with Billy the Kid. I'm Joe Dirt. What a pleasure to be on board with you tonight. A lot of dirt track racing to talk about. Racing that's already in the record books, and certainly a big weekend on tap here throughout the Southeast. And once again, my good friend Billy the Kid, we just had a nice big old dinner. We're ready to go for an hour. What's up, Bill?
Oh, a little full now, but yeah, we're ready to go. We got a big show tonight. We're going to start off the show in just a little bit with Travis Pennington. He was a guest we were supposed to have last week, but we didn't have the show, and I talked to Travis a little bit ago, and Travis had a big weekend as well, picked up a big crate win in Green Valley, so we'll talk about that with him too. And then we'll talk to one of your favorite drivers, Rob Underwood. We'll have him on, and then take a few minutes with Jeff Matthews, who was the Adams Auto Parts 40-lapper winner Saturday night East Bay. We'll just take a few minutes with him. He's going to be out eating some sushi, and then we'll talk to your hero, Rick Andes.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Looking forward to that. Haven't talked to Rick here on Dirt World yet. I think we had him on Trackside tonight probably a year or two ago. Nonetheless, looking forward.
That's enough break before we have him on again.
Jack, what do you think?
Well, I was thinking about I don't know if the room is big enough for all them heads. Between you had Rick to you guys. I don't know, man.
I know, dude. It's going to shrink up, no doubt.
He sent me an email today and said, we'll put some talent on the show. Finally get some real talent.
Bring it on. Maybe we'll get some listeners. Maybe we'll get some sponsors.
Yeah, real talent. More like raw talent.
Yeah, no doubt.
So raw, it makes your eyes water.
Oh!
Like a raw onion.
Hey, we want you to be a part of our raw program here tonight. It's easy to do. All you got to do is log on to Yahoo, your Yahoo account. It's absolutely free at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. Perhaps you got a question, a comment. Maybe you want to talk to one of these great drivers or talents that we're going to have on the program here tonight. But please be a part of it, folks, at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. This past Saturday night in the record books at Volusia Speedway Park. Billy, one observation from all of the dirt track racing that I've been aware of over the last, I don't know, couple of months. Dude, car counts are up. Grandstands are up everywhere you turn, and I don't think anybody can argue that right now. You look at this time last year, economy still in pretty difficult situation last year, certainly now worse than ever. What is this? People still want to be entertained, and it looks like now more than ever.
Yeah, I think the thing is, I think the people have come up and realized the economy is what it is, and they still want to get out and enjoy themselves. I mean, even if their bills are behind or whatever, you still got to enjoy life. And I think that's one of the things that you got going on. Talking about Volusia, I was at Volusia this weekend for the first time since opening night. And yeah, the car count's tremendous. I think the sportsman class is really grown over the past 6 or 8 months. And 18 late models, which is a few more than people were expecting with the two big shows you had around you. You had Brunswick for 3,000 to win, Ray Miller show, and Adams Auto Parts 40-lapper was at for East Bay, and they had 28 there, and you had 29 or something in Brunswick. So, you know, you had a really good car count considering what you had going on around you. You had the DARA, Daytona Antique Auto Racing Association cars there. It's the first time I've seen these cars since I was at Putnam a few years ago, and you know, what a tremendous growth this has been. You had 19 cars there, which is, I'm talking about 19 great-looking race cars, well-presented race cars. Had an autograph session in the middle of the night. The way the night was put together, everything went well. I mean, I agree with you. I think some of your four-cylinder class is down. You're going to have that. Then again, those are the working guys, and they're the ones that don't really get paid. So you're going to have that down. The Thunderstock class is what it is. You just have to sit back and watch that now and see which way it's going to go. Either it's going to go up or it's going
to
go down.
That needs to develop, I think. And I think we've given those drivers an opportunity to perhaps call on other drivers. They all say, well, there's you know, they know of 10 that are here and 5 that are here, but we'll see what happens. But what I meant from the statement, Billy, simply is you just said it right there. All of the late model shows, East Bay, 30 late models. Brunswick, almost 30 late models. Volusia, I mean, we had well over 20. So, I mean, everywhere you go right now, for all intents and purposes, things are looking pretty good in the short track world, whether it's dirt or asphalt.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I agree. I think, and also, too, talking about the modified deal at Bronson this past weekend, I heard the place was packed. And I know this is a dirt show, but that place had more roots for me, but that they packed the place. And, you know, Jack and Rick could probably talk about that. I know Jack went. That was pretty good for the Parker family to have a packed house, and that helped out some. But you're right, Joe. I mean, you look around the crowds that people have. The few times I've been to East Bay this year, East Bay always has the big crowd. They always have the crowd. And we've always tried to figure out why Volusia can't get as many as like we get at Ocala on Friday and stuff like that. But I don't understand what's going on there, but I think it might be a little bit of a drive, too. You're talking about East Bay's right outside of town. Ocala's right outside of town, but meanwhile, Volusia's 15 to 20 miles from the nearest town. So
that's right.
Maybe that's to say, but Volusia has the best car count, you know? So it's hard to say, you know? It's hard to talk about and go from there, but, you know, no matter what, yeah, with the economy the way it is, it's hard to tell at the racetracks. It's really
I'm so surprised. I really am. I remember the good old days 10 years ago when things were just plugging along. Economy-wise, things were great. Everybody had money. Everybody was fat and happy, and you couldn't get a car count. You couldn't fill them grandstands. It was really difficult, and you promoted back then more than ever. So just an interesting observation that I've been making over the last couple of weeks and just looking at results from different racetracks, whether they are dirt or asphalt. For the most part, man, things are just looking pretty darn good to me.
Yeah, it looks real good. I think, talking about
Charlotte County packed the place.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about that. DeSoto, man, they're on the upswing now.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of little asphalt tracks down south, you know, doing pretty good.
Yeah, everything seems to be well. That's the thing. People are supporting it. They're still supporting the racetracks no matter what they do. And, you know, I still think, to be honest with you, you can go there for $10. You can go to the racetrack for $10. I still think it's cheaper than going to the movies, because when you go to the movie, it costs you a whole lot more for popcorn and food than it does at the racetrack. But, you know, at least at the racetrack, you can carry food in. You know what I mean? Carry your own cooler and stuff like that. But, you know, it's hard to say, but it's glad to see the racetracks are doing great. You know, I think there's still a couple of tracks that are struggling about the area, but I think no matter what, they're going to always struggle. So, you know, and speaking of racing this week, there's no racing Ocala Speedway this weekend. I put that on the email. Muster Jams there Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Dude, he was able to nail down Gravedigger?
Well, he had Gravedigger last year. The one that impressed me this year is they're going to have Maximum Destruction and Gravedigger in the same building, and they keep Evertaz and Tom Metz. Now, usually it's the Gravedigger deal. You see the Gravedigger truck with some other trucks, but to have Tom Metz in the building.
Oh, man.
I think is the Maximum Destruction, I think. But if you've never been to this deal, I went last year. I took Jacob on Friday night. Man, this place is packed. I mean, it was well worth it. It's $12, man. It costs you $25 or $30 to go to the Orlando Amway Arena and watch them.
Oh, sure.
Or the Citrus Bowl.
Sure. Here you're outside a beautiful environment and probably a better show than you'll see.
Half the money is $12. I mean, and the biggest thing is I'd like to go this year on Friday, but to go on Friday and then turn around and come home and then head back to Lake City on Saturday, it just ain't worth it for me.
And this is the USHRA, obviously.
This is, United States Hot Rod Association. This is the Monster Jam, the same thing you see on TV, man. This is it, Monster Jam, right there at Ocala Speedway, Friday night one show, Saturday two shows, and Sunday a show. Get on OcalaSpeedway.com and check that out. So, I mean, Monster, you go see the Gravedigger. He's right across the forest there.
Yeah. When we get another opportunity to do that, Volusia Speedway Park, in an effort to help Ocala, you got to think, we're going to go ahead and take the weekend off as well, be back on May 9th, and then we're going to take the 16th off. So a couple of weeks here in May that we're going to take off, and this seems to have worked over the past couple of seasons.
It's a tough 3 weeks right this minute.
It is.
It's a tough 3 weeks. You got Richmond this Saturday, which is one of the better Nextel Cup races. Then the following week you got the night race at Darlington, and then the week after that you have the Winston. So you have to run against one of them. So I think the right thing to do is take off and take off the first weekend, the Richmond deal, and take off the third weekend, which is the Winston deal, and race against Darlington. I don't think it's going to make a difference one way or the other. But this is a tough month for racing. I mean, you got everything happening. The big deal at the Charlotte at the end of the month is Memorial Day weekend is huge, and that's always going to be a big thing. But got some good news today on Henry County. 110 loads on clay on the racetrack right now, so we're getting towards it right now. And should be looking at an opening date pretty soon. I can't wait.
Good progress on that little track on South U.S. Highway 27, south of Okeechobee, right there in Clewiston, Florida. A great little racetrack that certainly deserves to be back on the map, and it sounds like the progress is going real well down there.
Yeah, the progress is going real good. Got some pictures this week of the facility, and everything's getting cleaned up real well. Got the bathrooms redone, and everything's starting to fall in. You'd be amazed at how everybody's stepping up and helping with this deal, you know, the racers themselves and everybody in the county. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great thing when it opens. I think this ain't one of them deals where you have to start the ball rolling. I think once we open it, the ball is already going to be rolling. We're just going to be pushing it and kicking it. And I think it's going to be something big. I mean, they come up with a slogan for the racetrack. It's the South's furthest racetrack, or the furthest racetrack in the South, or whatever it is.
It is in the continental United States.
It is the furthest racetrack, with Hialeah being closed. And we've had a lot of people contact us from Miami, a lot of things down that way. Then people are looking to race. And I think with the Charlotte County being right around the corner, I think once we get going, it just shows you if he's packing the house. That I'm sure a lot of them are just waiting for us to open, too. They're just race fans looking for a place to go. So
that's right.
We'll see how that goes.
Not a whole lot to do down there.
You're right.
There's really not. I mean, you're right on the center corridor of the state down there, and, of course, U.S. Sugar dominates the industry and the largest employer down there. Nonetheless, Clewiston needs this. I mean, you got all the revenue generated from Lake Okeechobee,
right,
but the commercial fishing, I mean, that has all really gone by the wayside over the past several years. So it's a good thing, man, and this is why the community's stepping up down there. This is something that they need, to enhance the community.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, like I said, I think it's going to be good. The community's helped out. A lot of the racers helped out. Heck, one racer and his dad went over there and mowed the grass on a Sunday, and weed eat it and round up everything, all the weeds and stuff. So, I think everybody wants the place to go. So I think if it fails, if we let it fail, it's because we let it fail. It's because the racers let it fail, because they're trying to help us make it all big one success. And I think once, like I said, once we get going, it's going to be something that's going to be great.
Perhaps one of the most thrilling Sprint Cup finishes took place on Sunday at Talladega, but little known across the street on Saturday night, the Southern All-Stars at the Talladega Short Track. Ronnie Lee Hollingsworth picking up the win there in that deal. Exciting. And, folks, if you ever get an opportunity to go to I got a buddy at work. I went to Talladega with him, I don't know, what was that, 5 years ago? Took the motorcycles up there.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. It was a great deal. Did the fall race.
Right.
I says, well, okay, here we are. It's Friday night. You know, we got camp all set up. We got the bikes unloaded. I said, let's roll over to short track. We're 2 miles away. No, I don't think so. I said, you kidding me? I said, dude, come on. You got to go to the short track. We'd went there in the afternoon, and I showed him the place. He didn't go. I went. I couldn't believe it. Saturday night. I said, okay, man, here we go. Let's go to the short track, Southern All-Stars, you know. No, I'm not going. I said, okay, see you later.
Yeah.
Some people just ain't into it. Buddy, let me tell you what an exciting little place that is. So Southern All-Stars, of course, that's where the Icebreaker is. It's a great little dirt track. I mean, directly across the street from Talladega. So if you get an opportunity, folks, head up there and check that out. Rick Eshelman was supposed to announce that deal. They kind of put the booyah on him, told him he can't announce it. It's not a World of Outlaws show, not a UMP-sanctioned racetrack. Rick Eshelman had to, of course.
Well, you see this deal falls down, Joe. You know, at the beginning of the year, you know, everybody signs a contract. I mean, you sign one, I sign one.
That's right.
When I was there. And, I mean, to me, if you're working at a different racetrack, and to be honest with you, I mean, here you are. It's a Southern All-Star gig. You're at the Talladega Hornets Nest racetrack, and everybody knows that you're the World of Outlaw late models announcer.
Yeah.
What's better than free advertisement like that?
No doubt. No doubt.
You know, sometimes I don't understand why they do the things they do, but, you know, I don't really question it. But, you know, I think that with this day and age, the economy the way it is, if you can make money, however you make money, as long as they're not racing someplace else and you're not jeopardizing your job,
yeah,
then what's it matter?
Rick is the most loyal announcer you're ever going to talk to, you're ever going to see. This guy takes care of his interests in the World of Outlaws late models. Rick Eshelman would never do anything detrimental.
He bleeds World of
Outlaws.
Sure does,
man.
He does. And to be honest, I think this is one of them things that me and you've talked about over and over, that this could be a stabbing stone for what's going on. And maybe it's an eye-opener a little bit. But, you know, you start, like I said, you start taking a little bit of extra money out of your pocket, out of the people's pocket.
Money that's counted on.
Yeah, I mean, he lives right there, too.
Yes,
so it ain't
does.
Like he was out of his way. It ain't like he drove 1,500 miles.
Well, and he's done it for the past 15 years.
Yeah.
And it was already predetermined, already pre-set up. He gets a call a week in advance. So whatever. It is what it is. Lack of a better terminology there. You know, Rick wasn't too happy, but it's a great racetrack, folks. And if you ever get an opportunity, go to the Hornet's Nest right across the street from Talladega Super Speedway.
Ocala's own Avident Lloyd finished 13th Saturday night in that deal, qualified, started outside front row, and had a pretty good run going, and something went away with the car at the end, but ended up 13th, and that's pretty good to be in a super that doesn't even belong to him. It's somebody else's ride. It belongs to a gentleman named last name Beard out of South Carolina. They hired Denton to drive the car, and what a well representation he did with himself on Saturday night. We're waiting to see what that goes down. He's supposed to make the trip with us this weekend.
I was just going to ask you that. Is he going to drive for Clegg?
He's supposed to drive Clegg's car. Clegg called me this week about the tire deal, and they're supposed to bring the car up there. You know, this is going to be a neat little show. This is our second Florida race. We had open in Ocala. We went to Brunswick, then went to Alabama, and now we're back in Florida.
You're back in Florida. This is your homecoming.
Yeah, it really is. We're back in North Florida. We're going to be at North Florida Speedway Saturday night, 3,000 win. It's kind of interesting. I've been calling drivers this week, and it's kind of interesting to see how many guys aren't going, you know, how many guys are going.
Give us an indication. Some surprises, perhaps, guys that aren't going.
Jeff Henry. I'm kind of shocked that Jeff Henry's not going.
He's hit and miss, Billy. I'm not surprised about that.
I understand that. And, you know, like Ocala's Rich Pratt's not going to make the trip.
Again, hit and miss.
Matt Hartley.
Yeah, no surprises yet. Keep going.
Richard Ferry.
That's a surprise to me.
Who lives right
because
there.
Because that's his backyard.
Yeah, he lives right there, but he's had a few problems with North Florida Speedway. We won't get into that.
Oh, very well.
That's the reason why he's boycotting the race. And I don't blame him for it, so we'll see what goes down from there. But, We still got a strong list of drivers that's going. We're right around the 20 to 25, 30 car mark. That ain't counting the surprises that we don't know. We have yet to talk to Brandon DeWitt, you know, or guys like that. I did talk
about Tyler, man.
Tyler's going. I talked to Tyler this week. He's going to go.
Good deal.
You know, it should be a great show Saturday night. There's no racing going on. You might as well go see it.
Yeah, that's a great little racetrack. It's going to be a good program. And like you said, you guys are heading back your first Florida race back, so. And that's going to be a good one. Again, Volusia Speedway Park is off. If you don't want to see any oval track racing, like Billy said, Ocala for the Monster Jam, the actual full-blown U.S. HRA monster trucks are on tap there for three big nights. So that's going to be a big one right there. Billy, I think we should step back real quick as time is rapidly approaching. And when we come back, we'll have our first guest, and that will be
Travis Pennington right out of Alabama, out of East Alabama.
I don't know much about Travis, so you're going to have to carry this one.
Travis pretty much carries himself. We just talked to him a little bit about his run in Alabama, and we'll talk to him about him. He did pick up the crate win Saturday night in Green Valley, so we'll talk to him right after this break.
Presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play coach.
Apparently, those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker!
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud!
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
Time to get back to the action with Joe Dirt, Billy the Kid. This is Dirt World.
Welcome back to Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com with Billy the Kid. I'm Joe Dirt, and what a pleasure to be on board for our Wednesday night motorsports talk show, all surrounding dirt track racing. And as promised on the line right now, this young man, only 17 years old, joining us out of Winston, Georgia, the latest winner in the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Ladies and gentlemen, the driver, the number 95.3, Travis Pennington. Travis, thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
Yeah, man, no problem.
It was really a pleasure. Now, Travis, I did not attend that event. However, Billy the Kid is with me. He, of course, is the race director for the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, and we talk quite frequently. He said, man, you put on one whale of a clinic over there in Penton, Alabama.
Yeah, we had a really good car over there that weekend. We've been practicing a lot, getting ready for them two races, and we just had our stuff ready.
You know, you were a fast qualifier Friday night. With the pill inversion, it kind of set you back a little bit. Dana Island had a really fast car, but, you know, to end up in victory lane, and I believe that's a crate car, isn't it?
No, it's just a regular sports motor. It ain't like them other guys. They run them big sports motors.
Yeah, they run a 362. I knew it was a little bit down on horsepower, but, you know, you're running this car for Billy Thomas out of East Alabama there. You're running this car for him, and you've had a lot of success in it. We saw you the first time around at Brunswick earlier in the season, and you told me last week on the phone you're doing a little bit of super stuff too. Picked up a big win this weekend at Green Valley, is that correct?
Yes, sir. We it was actually a crate race over there. We won at Green Valley, and we're going to start our super stuff off here in a couple more weeks.
So you're going to be driving a super car for Mr. Thomas as well, and What are you going to run any series, or are you just going to run around a few shows?
We're just going to run some big late model shows around here. We're going to mainly run Creighton Sportsman, but when a big late model race comes, we'll be at it.
I can tell you, we're in the state of Florida. That's where we're calling you from. And most people don't know what background you come from. Most people don't realize who your dad is or who your dad was in the world of dirt racing. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in this gig.
Well, I was racing asphalt, and my dad was racing dirt late models, and actually my uncle come up with the idea, you know, if I buy him a car, can he just go with all the races? So we started off like that, and then I guess my dad seen why I was doing pretty good in it, and then he quit and actually started helping me a lot, so that helped out a lot, and we've had a lot of success.
Your dad's had a lot of success in the dirt racing, and you know, talk about some of the things that he won when you was a kid, some of the big wins you watched him pick up as well, and did that lead you into it any about wanting to be a racer, or did you always want to be a racer?
Oh, I've always wanted to be a racer. You know, growing up, I remember several weekends where he was winning big money races, and I always thought it was pretty fun.
You know, Travis, 95.3. It's a big radio station up there, and they're one of your major sponsors. And they're one of their DJs was at the racetrack Saturday night at East Alabama, where you ran second the very next night after Penton. Let me remind everybody, you were fast qualifier at both racetracks. But you know, they had the people on their feet cheering for you when you were practicing. You know, talk about that relationship a little bit.
Yeah, they they come on board with us this year. You know, they're helping us out a lot with the advertisement, and they had a lot of fans from the radio station out there, and they just promoted me a lot with the 95.3 car, and they were all cheering for me.
You know, you get around East Alabama Motor Speedway pretty good. Mr. Thomas is one of the owners there, so we know what it's like to be able to, you should be able to get around the place pretty good, but you know, you watch that place. I've never been there before. That's one of the best racetracks I think I've ever been to. I walked around this thing when the races were over. This thing still had moisture in it. It never dusted up, and the racing was 3-4 wide all night. You know, racing on that place, I'm sure you got a lot of laps there, too. I'm not real positive on that deal, but talk about the racetrack a little bit, about that facility and what it means to be able to go there and win week in, week out.
I love the racetrack. You know, it's one of my favorites. I won the Super Late Model Alabama State Championship there last year, and we've had a lot of success at it over the last couple of years, and it's a real good racetrack. You know, you can race 3 and 4 wide on it, and it never gets rough. That's what I like about it.
Travis, I'm sorry, Billy. Travis, 17 years old, right?
18.
18, okay, very well. At that age, that means a lot, so I apologize. 18 years old, man, you got a long way to go in your career. I mean, you got a lot of years ahead of you. You got to be thinking about some series, perhaps, at this point in your short track career. You know, certainly racing with the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, you know, proving that you deserve to be with those guys. Nonetheless, are you guys kind of kicking around anything with any kind of Super Series anywhere?
No, not really. We're just hitting mostly the big shows around here this year, and if we would have started off the year, you know, knowing what we was going to run, we might have run with the United Dirt Late Model Series, and we kind of, I think we missed a couple of races, but next year we might consider it.
You know, you talked about doing some super stuff. That's one of the things me and you talked about a little bit. Is that what you want to do? You want to stick around a crate deal, or are you looking to move to super? And what are you looking to do? What are you looking to do from here? Are you looking to maybe go Nextel Cup or something, anything like that one day, or no?
Oh yeah, definitely. Actually, I've run all supercars the last 2 years, and then this year, you know, with the economy the way it is, we kind of had to cut back and run some crate and sports and stuff. But we're still gonna run super. You know, I like running the car with all the horsepower, and I have pretty good success in it too.
Can't hear you, Joe.
Travis, tell us about the race car that you've been racing. I mean, the chassis. Obviously, the sponsors, the power plant. What kind of package you got together, buddy?
It's a Scorpion race car built by Ben Thomas Racing out of Phoenix City, Alabama.
Nice.
Actually, the first race out of it was down there at Golden Isles, and we really wasn't prepared to get it on there. It was just a last-minute deal. Then we got all our stuff together and went to Penton in East Alabama and run real good in it, and I believe it's going to be a real good race car.
Yeah, I mean, the Scorpion, that's the chassis. Talk about, I mean, is this thing mass-produced? Obviously, you got a guy in Phoenix City, but just a handful of those cars around, obviously.
Yeah, he builds a lot of cars around the Phoenix City area. He don't really build them for, like, national guys, but I think he's got as good a piece as anybody out there.
Cool, man. Travis, what a pleasure to have you on Dirt World here tonight. And obviously, things are going well up in Alabama. You going to try to make a trip to North Florida? It's not too far from you this weekend with the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
I'm not sure if we're going to make it this weekend, but I know we're planning on coming to Oglethorpe and Scriven to run with y'all.
Well, that'd be awesome, man. I mean, you guys thought about making some of the Florida swing too, like the Volusia swings that are coming up? I mean, I know you guys get around that place pretty good.
Yeah, we've thought about it. We're trying to get us up another bigger power plant to run with y'all. I think that's one of the reasons we got beat out here at Phoenix City. We were kind of down on horsepower, but if we can get that up, I'm sure we will.
Yeah, but it may have looked like, you may have thought you was down on horsepower, but you was pretty much right there with him when it was over. You know, you had a great weekend, Travis. You were fast qualifier Friday. You picked up the big win Friday night. You were also fast qualifier Saturday. And I'll be honest with you, I thought there was a little bit of time there where you was going to sweep both shows. And, you know, that probably wasn't far out of reach there, but you know, we appreciated you running with us, and you're a great race car driver, and I'm sure we're going to hear more from you. That one win you have so far this year wouldn't be your last. I know if you were running for the series, you'd probably be leading the points as well if you're doing it. You look at, actually, if you look at the series and the non-members, I think you're way up there on that deal. So, you know, I think you got a great thing going there, and we wish you the best of luck.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Travis.
All right.
See you later.
This guy is definitely on a career track. He's 17, 18 years old, driving for William Thomas there out of Phoenix City. He is, let me tell you something, Joe, this guy was, as soon as he rolled out there to take qualifying time on Friday night, he was blistering fast. And then to be fast qualifier as well on Saturday, this guy's got a future in racing. I mean, I don't think we've heard the last of him. I think winning a crate deal this past weekend is not the last thing you're going to hear from this kid. I think this kid's going to win a lot more races. I think you're going to see him run that super. I think he's going to win a lot of super races in the next few years.
Youngest driver ever to win a Southern All-Star Series race.
I'm telling you, man, this kid's a good race car driver. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He is one of the best upcoming young stars I've seen in a long time in the world of dirt racing.
And he's doing it right. I mean, he's hanging around his home state,
yep.
You know, hanging around Alabama, taking and picking and choosing, getting what he can get. And I think you're right. I mean, he'll blossom out here real soon, and we'll hear a lot about Travis Pennington.
You get it. You like you said, he's getting seat time. So you get seat time, and when you think that you've got enough seat time, you go out and then you take your best fighter to the game.
That's right.
And that's what they're doing. They're just letting this kid get as much seat time as he needs, and they're picking up wins here. They're picking up wins there. And they already know what's coming in the big picture. His dad, Jack Pennington, was one of the best dirt racers ever.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I mean, this kid's got a he's got the right head on his shoulders. He's a great race car driver, and he's got a lot of patience. And I could see that. And talking to him when it was over a few times, you could hear it in his voice. He's a little bit quiet.
Oh yeah.
He's a little bit quiet. Right, I mean, yeah. I set him up to try to give him the run with it. Talk about some of the things that led him
right,
on the race,
right,
and he
right.
just said a couple things,
that's
and that
true.
Was it.
Yeah. Doesn't talk him behind the wheel, man.
Yep, he's a great race car driver.
And more talented drivers right here on Dirt World. I think we should try to hook up with the beloved one, Rob Underwood, when we come back.
Yes, we are.
We'll be right back, folks, with Rob Underwood.
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNac gets it done.
This is Lawton Minshew, number 23. We're down here in East Bay. We're on Dirt World with Billy the Kid and Joe Dirt.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
On any given day, somewhere between 9 and 4:30, you arrive ready to bring us the world. And for an extra 20, you'll bring us porn.
Naughty, naughty boy.
Hey, you've already got the van and the jumpsuit. Why not get into criminal activity?
Just a naughty boy.
After all, what are they going to do? Throw you in cable jail? So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, manhandler of the Scrambler, because isn't it about time someone hooked you up?
Mr. Desiris, cable TV hooker up.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's time to get back to the action with Joe Dirt, Billy the Kid. This is Dirt World.
Thank you, everybody, and welcome back to Dirt World right here on RealRacingUSA.com with my good friend Billy the Kid. I am Joe Dirt, and we are here for our Wednesday night offering, talking about dirt track racing throughout, of course, the South, and certainly far-reaching throughout the entire continent. And tonight, as promised, a driver that I have coined the nickname. I know he won't like it, but the beloved one out of Umatilla, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, he drives the 09 Lubrication Engineering ACA Trucking late model, also a great modified effort resurging here in 2009. From Umatilla, Rob Underwood. Rob, how are you, buddy?
Not too bad, buddy.
You know, okay with that nickname?
I've been called a lot worse. I'll tell you that.
I can't help it, man. This place goes crazy when I mention your name out there, and then when you get out of the car with a win, it's just, oh, it's done then, man. Unbelievable.
Good bunch of fans, for sure.
It's got to make you feel good, Rob. I mean, certainly you've been out there many, many years, and you took a few years off, and then you kind of, you know, you reemerge.
With the follow the leader.
Yeah, yeah. You reemerge out here, and things just couldn't be any better. The biggest, you know, notable is this modified effort. Man, I could see a smile on your face, turn for turn, lap for lap. I mean, you're having a whale of a time in this thing.
That thing, you know, Chris Williams owned that car, and ACA sponsored, and also Lake Jim Farms owned that car. And they gave me the opportunity to get in it and go out and have some fun, and it has been a ball. You know, you watch them cars, they look like they're fun to drive. After getting in that thing, they are, man. They're a handful. A lot of fun. Big fun.
Rob, was this car already manufactured, already built, and you just pretty much, you know, strapped in, or was this an effort that was put together from the ground up with you in mind being the pilot?
Well, it was all together, and Chris himself was going to drive it. And matter of fact, he did the first race, and he didn't have very little experience at all. Well, he got in the thing, got out there, got in trouble, and knocked the front clip off. Well, he brought the car to the shop, and we put the front clip on the thing, put it all together, and he says, well, why don't you drive it the first time and see how it goes? The first time I got in it, that thing was, you know, pretty quick, and it just it's worked out from there. Or just, every time we go to Volusia, the thing just, you know, pretty much drives itself a great deal, and he's kind of let me sit in it ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, I talked to you last week, and we talked about that modified, and like you said, that thing's a lot of fun, and I think you said if you realize it was that much fun, you might not have built the late model. You might have started out with a modified, and you might still be there. Is that right or wrong?
Well, you know, I love my late model.
Did I just cause a commotion?
Not at all. Not at all. That thing, you know, to be honest with you, I probably would have been a lot wiser in the modified because the competition, I mean, there's a lot of good modified revolution, but it's still not as tough as trying to compete with the late models, you know, and we struggle a little bit there. But, you know, it is. It's tough in any class you go into out there. But the modifieds, I would have to say, would be a little bit easier to be competitive in than the late models.
Rob, you've had a great career out of Volusia. Well, short track racing, you know, in the South. I mean, you're very well known. And a little known fact and something I've always found just fascinating is your full-time job. And I think, and I just wanted to kind of delve into your thought process. You know, short of driving a cup-style car competitively, you're able to drive this thing around racetracks all day long, you know, certainly Daytona. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your gig with the Richard Petty deal? Because, man, I went out there and Rusty Robinson, you know, gave me the laps, and it was just amazing. But I will tell you, and I hope Rusty's not listening, all respect to Rusty. I love him to death. But I would rather have been in that car with you, buddy.
Good.
Talk about that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a dream job. I work for the Richard Petty Driving Experience, and I get paid to go out and sit in a Winston Cup-type race car all day long, and we give rides at Daytona. You know, I've been lucky enough to travel pretty much all over the country, you know, with different, you know, NASCAR tracks and stuff, giving rides, and then we pull students, you know, instruct a little bit. It's a dream job. I mean, you know, and I got that through racing local, you know. You couldn't ask for a better gig, you know. For me, I've been around racing all my life. You know, they say you live, breathe, you know, that racing deal, and it was the perfect match for me to be able to, you know, work for the Richard Petty Driving Experience during the day, and then get out and play in the weekends at night, you know. And for us, when we changed, you know, from we had been running asphalt and stuff a little bit, and I wanted to come back to dirt. Dirt was where we had the most fun, you know. Yeah. And when the asphalt thing kind of started drying up, it's like, we were working Daytona pretty much every weekend. I can get from Daytona to Volusia, you know, and a timely deal, and it just, sure, it worked out great, you know. So I get the, awesome. I get the best of both worlds. I get to play in a, you know, all day at Daytona, and then, you know, on the weekends at night at Volusia.
I did my Richard Petty driving experience at Daytona, and guess who my driver was?
Who was it?
Rob Underwood.
See, you got lucky, Bill. Rob saw me walking up, and he was in the Earnhardt car, and I'm like, oh, man, I get to ride with Rob. And here comes Rusty pulling up in some, I don't even know what it was. I think it was a Red Bull car. And Rusty said, no, Joe, you're coming with me. I'm like, damn.
He took me in the Dale Jr. car, and we came in the pit area, and he said, we were already talking about it. I told him who I was, and he said he was building a new dirt car. He was getting ready. That's before he came back out. He said he was getting ready to come back out.
Yep.
Then he said to me, we're pulling off pit road after the two laps. He goes, I gave a little more this time.
Oh, see there, man.
Be careful now. You're going to get me in trouble. You have fun. Don't get in trouble with that kid.
hey, you're already in trouble if they're listening.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I know that's right.
So, Rob, I mean, you're still doing this full time. I mean, are you traveling now, or are you locked down to Daytona all the time? I mean, what is the schedule with the Petty do?
It's right now. I'm scared to death that they're going to start traveling a little bit. But you know, we're staying at Daytona. You know, it's slowed down just like everything else in the country. You know, it has slowed down a little bit. We've cut back at Daytona. We're only running Fridays and Saturdays.
Okay.
And I work Disney. You know, a day or two.
The
rest of the week. But, you know, right now with the way everything's going with the race cars and stuff, I kind of hope I stick around, you know, this year, get to, you know, play a little bit more local.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go where they tell you. That's one of them. Yeah. You don't want to turn anything down.
I did the rookie thing. It's been 10 years ago. Well, when they first opened that track, and I think it was, well, the IRL and the trucks used to race there competitively for 4 or 5 years. But I actually did the rookie deal 8 laps at Disney and drove that. That was pretty cool. And I think it was Mike Fitch. No?
Yep. It's very possible. Yep.
Yeah, I think it was. I think he was the instructor. I think he was definitely driving the van around there telling people how to do it. And then, of course, I think he was the lead car. But that was pretty cool, man. But, Rob, talk about Volusia Speedway Park. I mean, this is a track that you've been traveling in, or you've been coming to since the old days. And this place has evolved. I mean, it really has. I mean, you've seen dirt track racing evolve in general, but Volusia has evolved. All these dirt tracks throughout Central Florida, West Florida, North Florida, things are pretty darn good in the dirt track world. Would you agree with that?
Oh, big time. You know, there for a while, it seemed like everything kind of shifted over to asphalt, like in the, you know, late 80s. Everybody was kind of asphalt. And, you know, we jumped on that bandwagon. That's when Volusia paved and all that stuff. So it kind of, you know, got everybody over to that deal. And now that it just seems like it's kind of come full circle. Everybody's kind of going back to dirt. And they say it costs a lot less to run dirt. I don't know about all that math, but it is definitely a lot more fun, you know.
Yeah.
But it's changed so much as far as the chassis and stuff. And it took me a long time to kind of get back to, you know, where I was getting a little more competitive with the dirt car. You know, when I left there, you know, it worlds apart from where it is now. You know, we were away probably 9 or 10 years, and a lot changed during that time. But I feel like now we're getting a little close. But I wouldn't change a thing. I love where we're at, Volusia. It's they're doing a great job of, you know, keeping the track surface nice. You know, every week in and week out, everything they seem to improve every week. And you got to give them credit for that. They're doing a great job out there.
Now you going to dig out some tires this week and come run with us at Lake City instead of taking a weekend off? Or?
Man, that's killing me. I want too bad. But
what's stopping you, Rob? Daytona?
That and tires, you know.
Oh, really?
We're just now getting back to Volusia. As a matter of fact, we've only run this car twice. And it's one that we put together. It's a Rayburn copy that Russell Brown put together for us. And really just trying to get on our feet from getting it put together and everything finished. It's a little early to be going off and jumping on the big boys yet. I'm going to get a little more seat time in it and try to get a little more competitive with it. We run decent Saturday night.
Yeah.
But I know there's a lot left there to for us to, you know, be more competitive. And I've got to do that before we go traveling and jumping on them big guys.
Yeah, Rob, I mean, there will be nights here in the near future that the modifieds and the late models will run simultaneously, you know, in the same night. Are those nights that you'll do double duty, or are you guys kicking it around, will you?
Absolutely. Do the double duty.
Didn't get too old, Brad.
Oh, man.
Easy.
I'm just kidding, Rob.
Hey, you don't look old. I'm going to tell you that right now. I mean,
Rob,
people talk about, oh, Rob been around 30 years. I know
y'all are killing me.
Rob knows I'm kidding. When we had a little joke match going on Saturday night when the races were over, but You know, you talk about that, that modified and that late model deal. You know, we talked, like I said, we talked about it last week, and you're having a lot of fun with the mod. And I got the feeling, Rob, when you get back up to the caliber that you were with the late model before you was involved in the wreck that wrecked the last one, I think you're going to be tough to beat on both of them on any given night, because you have won there before in the late model, and now you picked yourself up a win in the modified. These guys are going to start getting worried, man.
Yeah. That would be nice if I felt like I could worry them guys, but I just we got a little ways to go yet.
I don't know. You say you got a little ways to go. Last time out with the mod, you was a winner. I thought you was like fourth or fifth Saturday night with the late model, so I think everything's starting to come together. But, you know, I wish you could come run with us on Saturday. Dig up some 21s. Matter of fact, I'm going to get on the phone when I'm done talking here and try to find you some used sets of 21s. I want you to come up there. And,
hey, he means it, Rob. He will, too. Don't be surprised.
It means a lot.
We are going to travel, you know, probably within the next give me a month. Give me some time to get this thing sorted out.
In a month, we'll be at Volusia, bud. We got three go. Big races coming at Volusia, so.
There you go.
That'd be all right.
If I can go out there and be competitive with them at Volusia, then I'd have a little more confidence to travel with them and jump on some of these other racetracks.
I think you'd be all right. I think you'll get going.
Who's helping you out there, man, in the late model effort? Who you got corralled up helping you?
ACA, which is Chris Williams, the fellow that owns the modified, he has been great helping me out. And my dad, you know, everybody knows my dad's there with me every weekend, and he does what he can. And we have very limited, you know, supply. Dan's Discount Feed and Seed, Dan Kerr, he helps me out a great deal with parts and such. And then, you know, we got a little welding shop that kind of supplies some metal. Big R, he helps me out quite a bit. Lightning Bolt, they supply bolts. And then the big one, LE, Lubrication Engineers, they supply all of our oil and grease.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a combination of a bunch of little guys, which, you know, if the other fellas had any idea what we were doing on our budget, they'd be ashamed. But we're real proud of, you know, what we're able to do with the small budget. But.
And you should be, bro. Well, Rob, man, what a pleasure to have you on Dirt World. Like I said, I mean, watching you out there at Volusia Speedway Park, it's exciting. We realize how much fun you're having out there. And to be on Dirt World with us here tonight just means so much to bring some of your program onto the radio and, of course, tell, you know, the listeners what it's all about out there. And, again, congratulations on the modified win a couple of weeks ago. Keep on keeping on, man. Keep your chin up. And I know things will be back where Rob Underwood wants them.
I sure appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me on here. It's kind of cool.
Pleasure. It was really a pleasure. We do a couple of programs. The Monday night show is more geared around the asphalt. We do that on Racing 1150 WND Daytona. The Wednesday night show, Billy and I put this thing together last summer. I think we got almost 30 shows in the books, man. It's all about dirt. He won't even let me mention asphalt.
Oh, that word out of your mouth again.
Yeah. Bob Underwood, thank you so much.
Man, I appreciate it, you guys. Big
all right, buddy. All right, man. We'll catch you later.
Take care.
Umatilla's Rob Underwood. If you don't know him, Google him. He's unbelievable. Coolest thing about Rob right now, man, is the fact that not only, I don't know what it is, I mean, he's always kept his nose clean, he's a cool dude. These people erupt when he gets out of that race car. I mean, he's a star out there. He is, Billy. I mean, you saw it.
Yeah, he's got a fan base following me. You got to understand, Umatilla doesn't really have a late model driver.
You're right. He's
they got some mini stock drivers.
Some
they got
pures,
and they've kind of attached themselves to Rob Underwood.
I guess.
And look at the crowd that goes with Grady Christian,
oh, man.
And the crowd that goes with the Kerrs, and the crowd that goes with the Statues.
That's,
you got yourself a late model driver out there now, and people's kind of attached him because he's from Umatilla.
Yeah.
And we've seen it. We've seen them pile 80, 90 people or more in there from Umatilla. So when they start cheering for their guy, you hear them.
Yes, you do.
So, I mean, and they're spread out. They don't all sit together because they don't get along with each other. You know what I mean? If they ever broke out of fight, they said Umatilla was fighting in the grandstand, you might as well forget about it. Don't even call security. Call the squad, the bomb squad or something. You know, talking
so
to Rob
true.
Underwood, he's been around a long time. Like he said, he was one of the ones that switched over to asphalt when Volusia went to asphalt.
Yep.
And, Joe, this is something me and you talk about a long time, and we talk about it all the time. When asphalt racing was in its prime, we went back and forth.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We would catch some of the asphalt shows, and no matter what, every Saturday we were at Volusia for dirt.
Yep.
But it just seems like over the past year that everybody realizes that asphalt is struggling, and everybody's jumped on the dirt bandwagon, and it's just kind of crazy. You know, and
invite them. I welcome all of them
every time, and they would never show up.
But I was dirt when dirt was dirty.
Yeah, they don't want to go. None of them would want to go. You'd invite them to come over, and they wouldn't want to go. Yeah, I ain't going over there. What y'all got going? What we got going, buddy, is a show.
That's right.
That's what we got. We got the best racing going on today.
Yeah.
I mean, where were these people 2-3 years ago when we was 125, 135 cars a week?
Yeah.
And still get done 10, 10:30, and the racing was on. You watch somebody start 12th or 13th and win the race. Where were they then?
But now, all of a sudden,
Volusia's like a magnet, and dirt. Yeah. You put dirt on, like you put dirt on Ocala, and everybody comes out the woodwork. You put dirt on Ocala, you might as well put a magnet in Ocala, and it attracts everybody.
He couldn't give tickets away when he
Thank
was that
you.
Fault.
You see what I'm saying? But I don't know. It's, I guess,
it's good. Welcome them with open arms, Billy.
I always do.
Welcome. I know you do.
Always do. But
welcome them.
When I get to the racetrack, I just don't talk to them very much because I'm in a strange mode.
I think Jack knows that now.
I'm the only one at a racetrack to walk around and won't squish a bug. I just walk around them.
Billy,
I don't have time to stop and mess with him.
Hey, Billy, it's so bad we put dirt on Karnak, man.
Yeah.
That is bad.
Yeah.
That is bad. I don't even talk to you when you're at the racetrack unless you're not working.
Who does?
Yeah,
nobody
talk
talks to me.
Don't talk to you. You're working.
Yeah, I'm busy.
Yeah. I don't know you. You can look at me, your best friend. You look at me like, what? Who are you?
Who the hell are you, Jeff?
I used to get mad about it.
Yeah.
I used to get mad on Sundays. I try to call you during football. I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? Can't even talk to him. Then you just got to get
two things for sure.
Billy the Kid.
Saturday night when the races are going, if I'm there and I'm working, I'm all business.
That's right.
And Sunday when NFL comes on at 1 o'clock, don't call me.
Don't call me.
Because I don't even know there's any races. They could be racing at Daytona on Sunday. I wouldn't know it because football's on.
I remember that time I went and sat down with you. I thought, oh, man, I'm going to go have wings and beer with Billy. We're going to kick back, watch the game. Billy's sitting in his own little booth. I walk in with my family. He looks at me like, I don't know where you're sitting. I'm working here. And you are, man. You got all the pools and all the, you know, obviously the fantasy leagues. But that's just you, man, and that's why we love you.
Speaking
that's
of
what makes you you, buddy.
But speaking of doing things alone, we'll talk to the most loneliest announcer when we come back, Rick
yes,
Angie.
We will.
This is Real Racing USA, and you're listening to Dirt World with Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid.
Welcome back to Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com, everybody. My good friend Billy the Kid on board with myself, Joe Dirt. Pleasure to be on board with you on our Wednesday night offering, talking about dirt track racing throughout the country. And as promised, as Billy coined the world's loneliest announcer, well, that's until I get there, Rick. But other people might call him the prima donna. With us, the voice of United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, Late Models, it is Rick Angies. Rick, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, and I finally made it. I've reached the top of the world. I'm on Dirt World.
You okay with that prima donna title?
Yeah. That's called work.
I got to be honest with you, Rick. I don't see that. You're the most humble dude You're very humble. When I've worked with you, you're like, hey, man, let's just do it. Let's lay it down, whatever you want to do. I'm not seeing that. So you must be.
I mean, he said.
I don't know what's happening when you're riding through races with Jack.
Was the old days.
That was the old days, yeah.
Okay. He said today in an email, we're going to finally get some talent on the show. And what I said before the show started was, we're going to get raw talent. So raw, it makes your eyes water like a raw onion.
Raw onion, yeah, buddy.
Hey, speaking of raw talent, Rick, you have really polished, you know, your act, if I might say so. I mean, you really have polished it. I mean, you're committed to these late models. This is something that not only are you announcing the entire night, understood you actually did most of the regular show up there in Alabama last weekend.
Yeah, I got thrown into that one, but it was fun because, you know, you get that track up there, the Williams, and the way Beverly's got that thing handled. You know, when she hands you a lineup, she hands you cards with these drivers' names on it with their sponsors, their hometown, and any little tidbit about it, and it sure makes it easy.
It does, man, and you will get spoiled. I mean, you know, and you've learned, and of course, I don't.
You got to walk around and do it before the race is knuckleheads.
You got to do your homework. But if somebody's handing you cards, buddy, take them.
I was just kidding, Rick.
Hey, Joe, how many times have you been handed you got the lineup here? Number.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, dude, scorers just look at me like, I don't know what the fuck you're looking for. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't know what you want. You should have walked your fat ass down there earlier. But, no, it happens. And we have, of course, SpeedNet out of Volusia. And it gives me, you know, heat race and feature lineups, but that's it. I mean, it gives you the name of the driver. And that's about it, but that's for scoring purposes. But you're right, man. I mean, the benefit, Rick, to traveling with a series, whether it is late models, modifieds, trucks, whatever it is, the fact that you get into these drivers and you know more about them each and every week. You
know, the same guys. We have a family.
That's right. And that's the cool thing. That's the cool thing about that. And you can really, really start to, you know, dig deeper into each driver's biography and bring that to the fans, and that's something special about it.
Hell, I think some of them starting to attach themselves to Rick.
Yeah, and they should. They should.
But, you know, I mean, they're great guys. That, you know, the regulars that run with us, and even the guys up in East Alabama. You know, the guys who joined us, like say at Penton. You know, they all had something to say. You could walk up to any of them, they'd recognize you as the announcer, which helps a ton when you got, you know, a bigger field of cars that you really don't know the guys. Plus, it also helps is when you have an announcer in the booth, like, say, you, Joe, or I believe his name's Carl up at Penton, and, you know, Joe Outlaw or Johnny Outlaw up at East Alabama that know their drivers, that give you the inside Iggy's on them. So that makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah, man. Rick, what are some of the biggest things you've learned, I mean, over the past, you know, season and a half now, or so to speak? Well, what are some of the, I don't know, maybe surprises that you kind of observe, you know, traveling with a series? Not to put you on the spot, but, I mean, what really stands out for you as a series announcer traveling?
Well, the traveling itself is something in all of itself. You get to spend hours and hours with Jack Smith, so there's a lot of
fun. Oh, hell.
And then, but really, it's like going to these other tracks and seeing how things are done that, you know, at, say, East Alabama and even the small track of Penton, and you're amazed how different tracks run their shows, but yet they're all similar, but different.
Yeah, you know? I understand what you're saying.
And that's a funny part. A funny part is when we got there on Friday to Penton, the guy that owns the racetrack came up to me and goes, what time you think we're going to be done tonight? Because I heard you like to get done early. And I said, yeah, I like to get done between 10:30 and 11 tonight. He goes, well, I kind of need to get done 11:30 because I need to sell some hamburgers. He said, but I heard your reputation, so I'm asking you for a favor. We got done about 11:15. What, 20 after 11?
Yeah, it was about 20 after 11. I mean, and that was a long 50 laps, too, Billy. I mean, you know, it was wild little racetrack there.
When you and I worked together last summer for the Scott Thompson Memorial at Volusia, what a neat deal that was. I truly, truly enjoyed that. However, I think I'm a little bit different. When traveling series come to Volusia, where I've been all these years, I welcome them. I really embrace it. You know, I give them everything they need, and I really, truly enjoy working with other people. I know you've probably noticed, Rick, in all these tracks that you've been to, that sometimes it's just really not like that. I mean, I think there's a certain level of intimidation sometimes, and that's kind of sad to see, because the little traveling that I've done over the years with a couple of different series, I noticed that. You know, for the most part, everybody welcomes you, but there are some places to where man, you're an invasion to their space. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, 100%. There's some places where you walk in the door and they look at you like you're not taking my job.
Yeah.
Hey, bonehead, I'm not here to take your job. I'm here to do mine.
It's insecurity.
Yeah. You're 1,500 miles from my front door. I'm not thinking about your job, bro.
Yeah. It's insecurity. It really is.
You guys, the two of you are just lucky that I haven't been working on mine now since school.
I know. I agree with that.
You guys would be outside looking in.
You're right.
One of y'all would be selling popcorn. The other would be selling the soda to wash it down with.
Just as well as I would, that by the time Billy got halfway through a night at announcing, the owner would have already snatched him by the back of his head out of the announcer booth and told him to shut the hell up.
Billy, you're fine driving around on your four-wheeler. You're fine smooth,
Why he'd be snatching me up? Because I'd be on the microphone going, get the damn cars on the track!
Talking about different personalities and different announcing techniques, one thing that I have a problem with, Rick, and Billy will agree to this, and it almost happened on Saturday night. I don't know, man. I transform. If it's past 11 o'clock, and I think I'm just spoiled. If it's past 11 o'clock, stuff starts coming out of my mouth.
Joe,
nobody should hear.
Joe, I spoiled you, honey.
I'm sorry. Rick, I turn into a monster. I start saying things and just,
Rick,
I mean, the
Rick,
attitude
you ain't never
goes to
seen
hell.
No shit like this,
oh, it's
Rick.
Bad. Tanya looks at me like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's going on?
One thing most people don't notice about me when I'm in the booth, a couple have, is that I am the master of the on-off switch.
Oh, indeed.
When I'm not talking, I'm off.
You think so. You'll mess that up one night, buddy.
So far,
I don't
want to
think
so. I've been twice.
Yeah, it happens. But, no, I mean, you want to get done in a timely hour, and certainly you're representing the late models, wherever you are. I mean, I'm representing the racetrack, and you want to get done in a timely manner because, I mean, it's a reflection of everybody. And Billy will agree to that. When you're done with a program and you've just run 100 race cars through that place, you know, when you're done at 10:45, 11 o'clock, I mean, it is valid when Billy gets on the radio and says, hey, good job, everybody, because he means it.
Hell yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I worked for DeSoto for 5 years, and it was quite an adventure out there. But we were the same way. We were really, wanted to get that show done just as fast as possible. Now, once again, Billy can attest to this. When you go to different racetracks, they run your show differently.
Yeah.
Sometimes, that you'd think, well, here we are. We got 50 cars, and we're getting ready to run qualifying heat races and B-mains. And then you look on their schedule, and they've got all six of their classes running with heat races.
That's one of the things that me and Ken kind of worked on this year was when we go somewhere, we don't want all them classes. But it kind of hurt us last weekend or 2 weekends ago at Penton. They didn't have enough cars to let our guys get enough time to get their cars ready for their feature race and for their B-mains because they didn't have enough cars. They had six cars in a class, and instead of having two heat races, they got one eight-lap heat race, and our guys are back up. So, in a way it kind of helps, but in a way it's kind of bad,
Yeah, true. Yeah, and, marathons are marathons. When we left Golden Isles last year at 4:30 in the morning, it was an awesome race. And when you complete something like that, when you go through the rain delay and getting everything ready again to get going again and watch the track preparation and sitting for hours and hours, but then once that show gets going and you get fired up, when you take that checkered flag, you do that winner circle announcer, you take that deep breath and you go, damn, we did it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it kind of fell to the same thing last year at the Thompson Memorial, and I think that's one of the things that happened. People that had been to Volusia the whole time weren't used to seeing us get, things were, but the rain kind of hurt us, and then we had, I don't think anybody was expecting 60-something cars to show up.
Right.
I think they were expecting somewhere around 30, and now you got 60. So now you're doubling your late model deal here, and I think that kind of got us behind, too. And, I had changed the running order around in the tower, where I thought we'd have been done with the late model feature by about 12:30, and then some of the local guys started calling the office. Some of the four-cylinder guys got mad because I put them in a feature only. They started calling the office, and meanwhile, the office said, we'll run heat races for you, and that kind of got us behind, too. And look what happened. One guy flipped over in the heat race. Even though he kept going, he still flipped over, and that's one of the reasons I didn't want him on the track because I thought the track was too soft for him. But, sometimes when the problems come up, and you guys know the same way, too, with announcing, sometimes something happens so fast in front of you, you're like, oh, damn, I should have called it like this, and you call it a different way, and then you think about it later that it should have been done different, but it's too late. You can't do anything about it. So, you know, you guys definitely have one of the toughest jobs because you're calling it as you see it.
Yeah.
And if you, I mean, it's a live mistake.
That's
if
right.
You make a mistake, and you can't go back and say, well, I want to change that, because you can't.
No, you can't. You got to say, I beg your pardon, or a lot of the announcers right. just say, check that, which I don't care for. But
right. what's really good is working with somebody like Joe. When, I mean, between me and Joe, when we do a race, we've got that track covered. I don't think we miss a thing.
Well, that's the thing, man. I mean, different people have a different, you know, a different style. And you know, I'm more of a turn-for-turn guy, you know. I'll pick them up on the back stretch, carry them through the front stretch, and you take the rest of them. It's so simple, man. I mean, but then you work with guys, and I love double-teaming, you know, announcing races. But then you work with some guys that just don't know the brakes. But it's always going to be like that, Rick. It really is. I look forward to the next time we do sit down together. But, Rick, let's kind of shift a little bit, and let's talk about, you know, the reason you're on, and that's, of course, the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. I mean, here we are in the fresh 2009 season, just a handful of races in the record books. A lot of big changes have taken place with this series after the Cinderella season back in 2008. But for all intents and purposes, things are going pretty good for you guys.
Things are going real good with us. We've had, I mean, every race has been right down to the wire. Different, you know, different things going on. Like, you know, we got going into Alabama weekend, we had Whitener and Collins up in the points. Well, Benton, neither one of them could make the feature, and we come out of that weekend, ends up Jason Fitzgerald with the lead. He was in fifth when we went to Alabama.
And that's something, man, the parity in this is unbelievable. And this is what I think Ken and everybody wanted to accomplish, and you guys are certainly doing that. But again, you know, after the great season you had last year, things are still just kind of plugging along, and, you know, you've got to build that momentum for this season. But, you know, with these few races that you've already done, you know, I think you guys are right on par for yet another successful season.
Absolutely. And, you know, the racetracks we're going to, we're doing a little more traveling, you know, North Florida coming up, and then Oglethorpe and Screven, and then Ocala, of course, the, you know, 14th annual Powell Memorial. It don't get any bigger in Florida than that one usually. I mean, that's a race that, you know, you got the Governor's Cup, you got all the other memorial races there. But when it comes to the Powell Memorial, 14 years straight with this one, on dirt and on asphalt, you know, the last time we were there and we did that one, it was unbelievable.
That's wonderful. And, you know, now with, of course, Hendry County, you know, in the shadows, you know, about to reawaken that great little racetrack. That'll be kind of like the premier track for you guys, but it's great. And some big changes, of course, with the championship, you know, the points fund, the championship check this year. You know, just a lot of good things, you know, are awaiting these drivers at the end of the season. Talk about some of the things that have gotten better with that.
Well, right now, to win the championship, that's as of right now. This could change at any time. Because we've got a lot of interest from a lot of sponsors. You know, the economy holding a few people back, but it's coming. The winner of the series will get $12,000 cash and $3,000 in prize, and that's 15 grand right there.
Wow.
You know, we got Ziegler Racing Engines is always kicking in, the $100 for the fast time. Central Mobile Homes is a $100 hard charger. But, you know, the amazing thing about this series, Joe, is every time we go to a racetrack, there's somebody handing Ken money for, you know, here's some more money for the fast hard. Qualifier, or hard charge, or fifth place, whatever. It's amazing how this series, once it gets to the track, attracts the people to it.
Another thing coming up this weekend at North Florida Speedway, H&L Horsepower has put $100 up for the hard charge as well. So that'll be good right there.
It's a blessing, you
right
guys.
There in Joey's backyard, Joey Hassauer's backyard, H&L Horsepower, and you know, it's like Rick said, it's continuing to grow every week. And I think, like you said, Joe, when Hendry County gets going, the series will be based out of Hendry County. We'll still have our two shows there, and our biggest show will be there every year, which will be around a 10,000 to win show. I've been trying to put the bug in Ken's ear, maybe having a 20,000 to win show, and both you guys know how I am. You keep driving the bug in there, and sooner or later somebody's going
to
grab it and run.
Yeah, that's right.
And yeah, I think that's something that might come up pretty soon. So
wonderful.
Yeah, we got North Florida coming up this weekend, and. This is the second annual North Florida Late Model Championship, which Ivan Lloyd is the guy to beat for this one.
Rick, would you let me work with you if I went up there?
No.
Sure.
Say no, Rick. Tell him like Beverly said, get out the tower.
Have you ever been in the tower at North Florida Speedway?
The little box.
The little box.
I've seen it. I've went there. I never been there for a race, but Billy and I walked there one afternoon. Well, it was during the Cecil Williams Memorial, and it was the Saturday, and we were riding around Lake City, the area, and Billy was showing me the sights, and I'll never forget, we stopped there, Phil was out there working on the racetrack, and dude, I was kind of holding on to the grandstands, we're standing next to him, and I was leaning up, and dude, like half of the grandstands, the whole side was covered with poison ivy. I said, hey, dude, you may want to get this down.
Oh, oh. Yeah, right.
So it's a real fan-friendly facility there, Rick.
oh, yeah, no doubt.
But, no, I look forward to it. And if I
yeah,
can make
come
it,
on
I, certainly
up.
Will, I certainly would love to do that, buddy.
Yeah, that would be a ton of fun, Dylan.
I
fans
think
love
using,
it.
I think they're using Jim Barnes up there. Jim,
they are.
Are they? Yeah, he did some work at Putnam, and now he's up there. I don't know what happened to John Harney. I don't know. Of course, he was traveling from Lake Mary, Florida, which is, man, that's a good 100 miles away. He was doing that every Saturday, so I don't know what happened to John.
John's an awesome announcer, great writer, too. I've known John for years and years and years.
Yeah, John can put it together nicely, and
yeah.
he really can, man. He's got his own style, and you're right. You know, the writing is second to none.
Maybe Rick, if you guys get together this week at North Florida between you and Rick and Jim Barnes, maybe we can get a show in. Maybe you guys can get together, can announce something.
Think we could nail it?
Between the three of you, I don't think you could announce two piss ants in a paper bag with instructions on the outside.
How dare
you? Joe, you know you're my favorite announcer. Rick's somewhere down the list.
Rick, he's standing ground on me, though. Hey, I've been working with Dave Westerman, Rick. He's been out of Volusia with Post Effects Digital Video Production, and Dave no longer has a Saturday night obligation at Speed World. He's still doing the Friday nights. But, man, he's been out there every Saturday night, and he kind of sits, I don't know, about halfway down from me in the tower there, and he's actually working some video equipment. And, you know, I've tapped on into him a few times and thrown the mic to him. And, man, Dave is just so, man, he's just the knowledge and the information and the history he knows makes me sound really good, man, because he's blasting stuff off in my ear, and I'm saying it right off, you know, as soon as I hear it. But it's been pretty cool working with Dave.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've worked with Dave several times when he had the Classic Car Series, and he'd come down to DeSoto a couple times up at Orlando. But he let me and Bill Green stand in for him for that charity truckers race because he was really
right.
Sick.
I did the Friday.
You did, too. Yeah,
yep.
We all got to do that. And, I mean, the guy's knowledge, I've known Dave for years, too, and the guy's knowledge, the things that he saved, I mean, damn, the stuff that he's got. You know, I'd love to walk through his house and see the stuff that he's got because he's got so much memorabilia from Florida racing.
Yeah, he does. He does. And, Rick, finally, man, I got to ask you, of all the events and the racetracks that you still have, you know, on the schedule for the remainder of 2009, which one do you look forward to more than any?
I'm looking forward to the Scott Thompson Memorial at Volusia.
Are you really?
If it's anything like it was last year, I mean, all the events we had last year, this one, when you get to the track, Joe, you know, especially if you travel a little bit, you know, when you get there like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you look around, there's, you know, 12 late models around.
Yeah.
But when we got there, and I think it was like 2:30 in the afternoon, there was already 30 cars there.
Yeah.
And it just it grew and grew and grew, and I've never been part of that big of a show.
It's going to be
it
awesome.
It was just an awesome thing.
Are you getting butterflies in your stomach every Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
I do, too, man.
Yeah,
never get rid of that. And
you never get rid of
that. When you do, you know you don't need to be doing it anymore.
You guys get butterflies?
I got more than that, but I'm just saying I do get butterflies.
I'm too busy to get butterflies. You guys got it late.
I'm serious. Let me tell you guys. I'm on State Road 11, and I'm heading out there, buddy, and I feel like I'm going to, I don't know. I don't know what it
you
is.
What the hell am I going to say?
Sometimes I'll be driving down the road.
I practice all the time.
Sometimes I'll drive down the road. I do my driver's meet.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with that.
And I hear the DJ on the radio going, "Well, you shut up. I'm trying to play a song."
and another thing, Rick, I mean, while we're talking about announcing, hey, I'll give you my deepest thoughts here. Sometimes I do think I'm running out of things to say.
Uh-huh.
Because you want to stay creative. You want to use as many adjectives as possible, make it sound exciting. But there's nights that I just, I'm
Joe.
I don't need to be doing this anymore because I've run out of things to
stop
say.
Carrying on, Joe.
I'm serious.
He's serious as a heart attack. You know, and especially like when you mess up one time during the race.
You're done. Your night's over.
You think you've ruined the whole thing, then you go back and like, well, we've got everything archived, so I can go back and listen.
It's
not that bad.
There can be.
Myself, where did that happen?
There could be two 80-year-old people and them only in the grandstand. And, Joe, you can make them stand up
and
cheer.
I did announce a
no
camel
doubt.
Race. There was. Thank you. I announced a camel race. Dick Murphy, I don't know where in the hell he got them, but it was two camels, dude. I swear to God. And they had these riders on them. And I announced a two camel race around that half mile racetrack.
No, you announced the box dog derby last year.
Yeah, the Wiener Nationals.
Yeah, the Wiener Nationals. See, you putting that on your resume?
Hey, are you guys racing August 1st?
Well, I don't know.
If you're not racing August 1st, Rick Angie's, come to Volusia.
We're not doing the Wiener Nationals.
Second annual
no.
Wiener Nationals. No. My entry, Wilhelm.
Check our schedule and make
Barbara
sure.
Bill's
if we're not racing, if we're not racing, we're adding a race right now.
Willie, Willie won his heat race, finished third in the feature. We expect double the entries in 2009, August 1st.
Wow.
Not racing, we're adding a race, just so we don't got to go to the international.
The Lassie Memorial.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Nice. Well, I hope that Willie does, in fact, visit Wiener Circle. Rick Angie's, man, what a pleasure to have you on Dirt World.
Don't lie to you, Joe.
Your career will evolve from here, my friend. We are the captain.
Good things come to those who are on Dirt World.
Right. What's that?
Good things come to those who are on Dirt World.
Yeah, I hear that.
But you know what's fixing to happen, don't you? You got to go this week and announce Jim Barnes, so you're going to look like the big hero this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to make you look good. Fine. You're going to get calls, and you're going to come out of the tower, and people's going to comment. You're going to say, damn, that Joe and Billy was right. I was on Dirt World. Look at all the compliments. No, they're giving you compliments because look what you were standing next to, you knucklehead.
Damn.
Rick, I'm just kidding, man. I told you, Joe, this is the first year me and Rick worked together, and we're starting to get attached with each other about, you know, that we care. Joe can carry on, and people don't know how to take me at the racetrack. And Rick and Jack Smith just they just stand back and watch and shake their heads sometimes.
They get it.
Jack walks by me and goes, "Won't you smile once in a while?" And, you know, they understand what frame of mind I'm in, so
they get it.
Yeah, and you know, when you get that camaraderie like that, man, it's a special thing that people on the outside just will never know.
That's exactly right. Rick Angie's, thank you for being on Dirt World, my man. And hopefully I can join you. I've got a little procedure happening on Friday. I expect to be recovered by Saturday, and I look forward to being there, my man.
All right. I'm looking forward to it, too, Joe.
Thanks,
North
brother.
Florida Speedway this weekend. Everybody be there.
You got it. Rick Angie's with the voice of the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, writing the stories. Very committed to this series, Billy.
You guys.
What?
Between you and Rick.
It would be fun.
I'm sitting here thinking now. You know what's fixing to happen.
It would be fun.
Y'all know what's coming.
What?
This weekend, y'all going to be in that tower with Jim Barnes, and Jim Barnes is going to look at one of y'all and say, "When y'all going to get me some coffee?" I can just see that, and I can see you and Rick going together and getting
it. I'd go get it for him. Sure I would.
I can just see that. Wow, what? This is what I look at Jim Barnes and say, "Won't you take a break?"
Yeah. You're going to have to step up and do that, man, for sure.
Who?
You. You're going to step up and help us out with Jim.
Ain't no problem. We'll score him on your arm, and we'll get it going.
Hey, Billy, and you can hear it live right here on Real Racing USA, man. That's what's going to be.
Jack, has that simulcast been going well? You know, the live race and so forth?
Yeah. Yeah, we couldn't do Penton. It was weird. You know, 100 feet from the tower, we had great reception with the internet in the tower up in the air where you'd expect to have great reception.
Sure.
Nothing.
Oh, wow.
But, overall, as a matter of fact.
You know where that's from, don't you? That was from being too close to Auburn University. That's what it was.
Could have been. But, yeah, it's been going real good, man.
I went to this place, and it's painted.
Is it close to Auburn?
It's painted. Yeah, it's right up the street. It's painted orange and blue, right?
Yep.
I said, man, nice colors. And they said, yeah, it's Auburn, Alabama colors. I'm thinking it's Gator colors.
Florida Gators, baby.
You know what I mean? But, you know.
That's not friendly territory for you guys.
Whatever. I ain't afraid. You ever seen how big Rick is? Somebody hits me, they better be dealing with Rick.
Rick is big.
And Jack. I'd be scared of Jack. Jack looks like he'd just wear you out.
Yes, he does.
A 2x4, man. A 2x4.
I watched a lot of Bruce Lee movies.
Yeah, that's right. You sit back and you think, and you're like, if a fight breaks out, who am I going to hide behind? Oh, hell, I better just stick with the bleachers because...
No, I'm just going to ask you which way you're running. You're going to say why, because I don't want to run over your ass. Hey, you think we can spend 10 minutes with Jeff Matthews and we can squeeze it out of him while he's eating raw fish?
He's eating sushi.
What's with that?
He's
a hardcore dirt racer, and he's going out for sushi on Wednesday night.
He's going to some deal with some sponsors or something. I guess we could give him a
try. Wrong with that.
Talk about his win on Saturday night, big win in the Adams Auto Parts 40 Laffer if you want to. If not, we'll just end the show and have him on next week. But
let's get him. I mean, let's get him. No, seriously. I mean, he's fresh off a win.
Are you arguing with me now? You just hung up with Rick Angie's, and you're going to sit here and argue with me now?
I'm right. Hey,
We bring in another announcer, and you get all carried away here.
Jack, get Jeff Matthews.
Right.
This is Real Racing USA, and you're listening to Dirt World with Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid.
Welcome back to Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com with my good buddy Billy the Kid. I am Joe Dirt. Pleasure to be on board with you for our Wednesday night motorsports offering. You can be a part of the program tonight on the Yahoo by emailing us at DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com. That's DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com. And now on the line with us, a young man that is just having a great 2009 season. Picked up his latest win Saturday night at East Bay. Was it Friday? Yeah, Saturday night at East Bay Raceway Park. Of course, the driver of the Nighthawk Towing Modified, of course, Jeff Matthews. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Billy insisted we get you on the program, and I told him, I said, man, you're going to wear him out. I mean, let's you know, space it out a little bit. Jeff, you're a regular, and we appreciate it.
Yeah. Billy needs to be working on them cars for me.
Exactly.
He wants to do some diecast.
Hey, let me tell you something, Jeff. I think he's over his head with these cars. What do you think?
I see everybody around me getting these cars. But I ain't got no cars yet. I'm trying to find out what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, he'll say, "Oh, Jeff, me and you buddies. You know, me and you down like two flat tires." But he ain't giving you the cars you want.
Yeah, he keeps blames it on the vinyl guy.
Oh,
I actually called your vinyl guy today. He's out of town till Monday. He's on vacation. So now, how about that? You know, Jeff, we had you on the show the night after, the Wednesday after opening week at East Bay, where you swept them in the modified and you swept them in the late model. I've been down a couple of times this year. You've been second once or twice there. Man, what a run you had Saturday in the Adams Auto Parts 40 lapper to pull off the big win, 2000 win. Talk about it a little bit, man, because neither one of us got to go.
We pulled a pretty good pill. We started, you know, on a front row of a heat race beside Keith, and Keith outrun us in the heat race, and they inverted and put us starting sixth in the feature, and Keith was on the pole. I told the guys, we even started, I said, man, I don't think we got a car to win. I think we got a top five car, but I don't think we got a car to win. But, you know, the racetrack, as the night went on, just got blacker and blacker. And, you know, of course, we got a 604 crate motor in that thing, and it wouldn't spin the tires. So I think that was our advantage, is having a smaller motor versus the guys with the big motors. We only get a hold of the racetrack.
When you say you had an advantage, I heard you lapped everything there, but just about your back tire actually lapped up to, like, ninth place, and there were some really good cars there Saturday night. One of the better fields that's been there in the last month or two, but 28 cars, and to have a great run like that, I mean, that says a lot. But, you know, you talked about the crate motor, and that's what I told everybody. With the crate motor, some people don't understand that when the racetrack gets a little bit of rubber on or it gets blacked over, those crate motors are hard to beat there.
Yeah, they've been tough to beat for, you know, the last couple years there, actually. You know, you see guys, you know, winning races left and right with those crate motors, and we've got, you know, other motors back at the shop. But I tell the guys, I think our best deal for, you know, running at the bay is a crate motor. Now, we go to Ocala, I don't think we'll be as good with a crate motor at Ocala, but, you know, at East Bay, I think it's definitely the motor to have.
With the hot commodity tear that you're on at East Bay Raceway Park, I would assume to say this weekend we will not see you at Lake City Speedway.
No, I won't be there. I'm gonna stay at East Bay.
All right. I figure with the run that you had Saturday night, you're probably leading the points or pretty close at it anyway. But because you've been pretty good there this year, but we sure going to miss you Saturday night up there.
Yeah, we're leading the points actually at Ocala in the modifieds and at East Bay in the modifieds and in the late model. So we're gonna try to win those championships. Yeah.
That's impressive, and I don't know that that's ever been done right there, Jeff. A guy to pick up championships in two divisions at two different racetracks.
I think it's probably been done at two different racetracks. Not at one track. I think Donnie Tanner's done that in the past, you know. But at East Bay, running two classes in the same year and winning two championships in the same year, they tell me they don't think it's been done. So we're gonna give it a whirl.
No doubt about it. And you know, you're driving the modified, you're driving the late model, both enjoying a lot of success. And you know, at one point, I mean, you know, you're trying for the dual championship, but given the choice of the two, Jeff, would you go back to the tried and true modified?
I've always been I'm a modified racer at heart. I like the modified. They're a lot of fun to me. And I would have to say, I would steer more toward the modified versus the late model, but. No, we're having a pretty good year in late. We've ran late models for several years there. We just haven't really had much success. Of course, we haven't, you know, devoted and dedicated a lot of our time to the late model program. We've been running the modifieds and, you know, staying pretty true to those type of cars.
You know, your late model, you have a couple late models. You got one with a big motor and one with a crate motor. Do you have to make that choice every Saturday, or when you get there, you pretty much know which one you're going to run?
Funny that you asked that. No, because we actually bring both cars every week to the races, and we just kind of play it by ear and look at the racetrack, and we know we're going to be off a little bit in the heat race if it's a little heavy, but you just got to have that gut feeling that it's going to, you know, black off and slick up on us. So we bring both cars every Saturday there, and we've made the right choice, I think, every Saturday that we've run. Hopefully we can stay on that program.
Well, we know you're having a night out with some friends and family and some sponsors and some business people, and we want to say thanks for taking a few minutes with us, and we'll give you another month off and we'll try you again, maybe after another big win over there, maybe after the Thompson Memorial at East Bay. Maybe you'll win that deal and we'll have you back on after that.
That'd be nice. You guys take care.
Jeff, thanks, man. Pleasure. Thanks, buddy.
All right, thank you.
All right, man. Dude's got it figured out right there, let me tell you.
Let me tell you what happened last week.
Got it figured out.
I did some cars last week for Jack Nosbick and Jimmy Waldrum, and I took them to Ocala Friday night and put them in his hauler. And we cut one of the boxes open, and he looked at him. He goes, "Where's mine?" I said, "What do you mean, where's yours?" He said, "When are you going to do my car?" Well, I guess now I got to do his car, but got to get a hold of Bruce. Bruce can do me some vinyl to do his cars with. But Jeff's a great guy. He had a pretty good run Friday night. They went in. They was running up in the top five in the modified in the Summer Slizzler 1500 to win. He was running in the top five, and he pulled in and changed the – didn't have a flat tire, pulled in and made it – during caution, made a change, changed the right rear tire, came back out and drove up to fourth or fifth. I think ended up after two DQs, finished third, which was a good run for him. I said to him after it was over, I said, "Did you come in and get a hard tire?" He said, "No, we came in and got a softer tire."
Wow.
The racetrack was pretty blacked over, didn't get enough moisture in it. 31 mods showed up, and Shane Burrows was the winner, and that's what I tell everybody. We talk about Matthews with his crate motor and his late model. Sometimes it ain't all about motor. When the racetrack gets like that, you know, Shane is running one of the smaller motors like they run at East Bay and those modifieds, and he outruns some heavy hitters. I mean, Jason Daly.
Really, I think one track it really matters, that's Volusia. These other tracks, man, motor doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something. I've seen where Volusia, look at Sean Smith when he ran Volusia last year.
With a crate motor.
If it blacked over, he was pretty good with a crate motor.
Yeah, could lead.
If it was heavy, he was in trouble.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think it's all about track condition. And, you know, Jeff Matthews, like we said, he's been on a great run this year. He won the season opener. And now to pick up this deal, he's a couple of times I was over there, he was second, had a great car. And, I mean, I think a lot of it is he's on top of his game right now. He's an Ocala points champion last year in the modifieds. And I'd like to see him win all three championships this year.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
He's a good guy, and he's capable of doing it.
Yes,
you know,
he is.
And,
he really is.
People got to remember, too, Jeff's racing with a heavy heart, with, you know, still with the loss of J.R. Prather at the beginning of the season. And, you know, there's a lot of guys over there that are making it go with that deal.
Absolutely. Want to thank Travis Pennington, the young man out of Winston, Georgia, joining us tonight. Certainly want to thank, of course, Rob Underwood out of Umatilla, Florida. We definitely want to thank Mr. Rick Angies, the voice of the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, and, of course, Jeff Matthews for being a part of Dirt World here tonight. Next Wednesday night, we'll be back in full force. Certainly talk to the winner of the North Florida Speedway event for the UDLMCS. Billy, great program, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great program. Like you said, we had a great group of guests. We took last week off, and we got back in full swing this week. And next week, we'll get around full swing. Remember, no racing Ocala this week. They got in the monster jams. So get out and see that. Volusia Speedway Park is closed. Either catch you not at Dirt Late Mall Challenge Series on Saturday night at Lake City.
Putnam, I think, is racing as well.
Putnam is racing. You have to check their website for their schedule. Also, East Coast is racing as well.
For everybody here at Dirt World, we thank Jack Smith for my good friend Billy the Kid. Billy, get some dirt on your dog. I'm Joe Dirt.
Good night, everybody.
Learning lessons of the heart, a recent revelation. I found a place to start. Dixie Highway, can you hear me? Sometimes we ride alone. Dixie Highway, can you steer me? Oh, I'm out here on my own. Sometimes we ride alone. Dixie Highway. Lines, they are relentless.